To the radio program is brought to you by the members of the Main Street Church of Christ. We meet at 240 West Main Street in Mount Sterling. Our times of assembly are Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for a two-hour period of worship in which we partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday, every first day of the week. And also we meet on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock for a Bible study, and we continue in the Gospel of John, 12th chapter, and also into chapter 13. So you're invited to any of those services. Also, you can visit our website, mountsterlingchurch.com, and you can live stream our services. Been thinking about the idea of a remnant. A remnant is really a leftover amount of what was a larger proportion or piece. It's a small remaining quantity. Many of the most beautiful quilts have been made by piecing remnants of garments that were used for other purposes. In the Bible, we notice an example of that in the book of Judges, where the Midianites have come and they have basically taken over the land of Israel. And God has lifted up Gabriel to be a redeemer for the people. His army, and this is a problem we don't see too often, his army is too large. He said, "You have too many." This is in Judges chapter 7. "You have too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand. Let Israel boast over me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.'" So he said, "Send everyone home who is afraid and trembling." And 22,000 people left the camp. 10,000 remained. Still too many. "Go down to the water." And it depends on if someone laps the water like a dog laps a tongue, or they kneel down and drink. And so there were 300 who lapped, putting their hands to the mouth. The rest of them knelt down to drink. And the Lord told Gideon, "This 300 is sufficient." It's a remnant of the original large group of men who did come out and would have fought. But yet God said, "I want people to know the victory is mine." That's an example of a remnant. Another example is in 1 Kings, 18th chapter, where Elijah has a contest, as it were, with the prophets of Baal as to who could call on their God, and their God would send down fire and would burn up the sacrifices that they had been placed on altar. The prophets of Baal tried first, And they called on Baal from morning till noon, we're told in chapter 18, about verse 25, 26. But Baal did not answer them. And they limped around the altar, and finally Elijah began to mock them, saying, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either if he is a god, he is either musing, or he's relieving himself, or is he on a journey, or he's sleeping, and he must be awoken." And they cried all the more, and they cut themselves, but to no avail. And then Elijah called on the Lord God, and after all the preparations were made to make sure there was no mistake as to who was going to send fire down from heaven, it was the Lord God who sent down the fire. And he consumed the burnt offerings and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trough. And the people who were vacillating between not being able to say whether it was God or whether it was Baal, they now fell on their face and said, "The Lord, he is God." And then the prophets of Baal were killed. Now, after this great victory, Elijah becomes discouraged and is depressed. And he will tell the Lord in chapter 19, after Jezebel has said she's going to find him and she's going to kill him. So he runs away and he tells the Lord what he had done there in chapter 19, verse 14. "I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." But the Lord gave him work to do, to appoint certain men and to appoint his successor. And he told Elijah there in verse 18 of chapter 19 of 1 Kings, "Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him." There was a remnant of people, a small group who were faithful to the Lord. This is taken up in the Roman letter by the Apostle Paul. In the 11th chapter there, he says in verse 1, "I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or did you not know that the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleaded with God against Israel, saying, 'Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life.' But what does the divine response say to him? 'I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal.' Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work." Continuing on. "What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were hardened." And he continues to talk about that. So we have the example here of a remnant of people. God had a remnant of people, and I believe, from what I understand, even all the way through till today, there has always been a remnant of people who have been God's elect, God's chosen. In the 9th chapter of Romans, Paul here talks about the idea that there is the hope for the Gentiles, verse 25 of Romans 9. As he says also in Hosea, "I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where I have said to them, 'You are not my people,' there will be called the sons of the living God." And he goes on to talk about Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. The remnant. Many, many called, few chosen. In Matthew's account, Matthew talks about the idea of how we are to enter in to life. He talks about the idea there in the 7th chapter, where he says, verse 12, "Therefore all things whatsoever you would have men should do to you, do you also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it." And continuing on with the idea of few there be that find it, in Matthew the 19th chapter, this is the account where there was the man came to Jesus, and he said in verse 16 of Matthew 19, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" And Jesus talks to this young man, and he says, "Keep the commandments if you want to live." And he asked, "Which one?" And Jesus told him some: "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, and love thy neighbor as thyself." And the young man said, "I have kept all these from my youth up. What lack I?" And Jesus said to him, "If thou would be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me." Now, in Mark's account, it says that Jesus loved this man. But this man went away sorrowful. He was a young man. He had great possessions. And Jesus gave the statement that it's hard for the rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples were asking a question. They were amazed, said, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus said, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." God wants to save all men. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So it's possible for salvation. But maybe just not how man thinks God ought to work out a plan for his salvation. In the Corinthian letter, the 11th chapter, where Paul is talking about the fact that they were not observing the Lord's Supper as intended, he said, "There were factions among you," verse 19, "in order that those who are genuine among you may be identified." So we want to identify that remnant. We want to identify that genuine group of Christians that have the hope of eternal life. Now back in Isaiah chapter 10, about verses 20 and 21, he talks about a remnant of Jacob will return from the captivity in Babylon that they were going to go into. And those who would return would be those who would lean on the Lord. Now, what about Luke 18, where we're told verses 1 through 8 that men everywhere should pray and not lose heart? And then he talks about the illustration of the unjust judge. But the persistent widow goes before him. And then Jesus poses this question in verse 8 of Luke 18. "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" So let's talk about some of the characteristics of the remnant. Those that are chosen. Those are the elect. They lean on the Lord. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." The remnant seem to be those who trust the Lord and they obey him. They obey from the heart. They learn the commandments of God. They want to please God. They begin to learn to practice the agape love of God. Love of God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength. The love of neighbor as thyself. And they practice this. And they do not get discouraged. They do not grow weary in well-doing. And they are told that if they continue on, they will reap a great harvest. They will bring forth fruit to the Lord. We need to have a godly fear, a respect for God and respect for His Word. If God's Word is not inspired, it is on the level of man's words. But yet we believe the Bible teaches that God's Word is inspired. The Scripture is given by inspiration, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work, may be complete or perfect. We always look to Jesus Christ as our example. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And in doing so, we continually hunger and thirst after righteousness. We're never satisfied. We seek the maturity that comes from the person who has grown up in Christ Jesus. They have put on Christ. And in doing so, they become a light to those around about them, in their family, in their community, wherever they worship, wherever they are with people. They can look and say, this is a godly man and a godly woman. Think about these things. A small remnant. Don't you want to be a part of it? Don't I want to be a part of that remnant? When the Lord comes again, will He find faith on the earth? Let's pray that we are developing those characteristics that would set us apart from the world. And in doing so, we believe God's promise to His children, that they will be heirs to the grace of life, heirs of eternal life, because they have served Christ in this life, and He will provide for them in the world to come. Appreciate your listening for the Main Street Church of Christ. This is Gist Howell. Thank you.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, when buried with Jesus, a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Today I faced a mountain. Tried to climb, though it seemed I
People busy in the marketplace buying sacrificial lambs. Outside, my son is playing in the dust and in the sand. And I know within my heart he'll be more than just a man. That's my boy. He can do. That's my boy.
That's my boy.
Make sunshine from the rain. From the very start of his life, he's been a blessing from above. His mother's pride, his father's joy. I'm so proud to say, that's my boy. From teaching in the temple to healing the lame, I've seen him work such miracles words could not explain. Now here he is before me, hanging on a cross. No mother's known such agony or ever felt such loss. That's my boy. He could do most anything. That's my boy.
That's my boy.
He made the dead to rise again. From the very start of his life, I wondered how could this be. But he's not dead. He'll live again. Just you wait and see. but my Savior and my King. That's my
boy. 106.9 FM and AM 1150 WMST Mount Sterling.